turn to Psalms chapter 4 to begin with, and then I believe, I didn't even make a note, but I'll find it in just a moment. I believe it's over in the book of Psalms where we're going. The Word of God said in Psalm chapter 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. And then tonight we're going to Psalm chapter number 68. And I want to stand in awe of God's blessings, His benefits. And you all have heard this passage of Scripture, I'm sure. But the Lord has just dealt in my heart about it today in a special way, I believe, and I want to share that with you. The Bible said in Psalm 68 and verse number 19, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongeth the issues from death. I appreciate the Bible, don't you? I appreciate the psalmist here, a psalm of David. And David is a man that I guess he knew the mountaintop well, and he also knew the valley well. David is a man that the Bible declared to be a man after God's own heart, but he is a man that was just like you and I, a man that had faults, a man that had failures, but a man that God used. I believe God has used every man in spite of his faults and his failures. And I want to look at this tonight, and hopefully God will just use it in a special way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, we want to bless your name tonight, just like the psalmist said, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Thank you, Father, tonight for your Word. I pray, Father, that you'd make it real to us tonight. May the Word of God come alive to us tonight. And Lord, may we stand in awe of our great God this evening, the God of our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. How many of you at some point today thanked God for food? Did you? How many of you at some point today thanked God for your appetite? What I'm trying to point out right there is, we take a lot for granted. All the food in the world means nothing if you don't have an appetite. If you've been sick, you know what I'm talking about. I've got one of the greatest cooks in East Tennessee. And when she puts it on the table, 99.9% of the time, I'm going to go at it. But there are times when I don't want it because I don't have an appetite. The Bible's talking about here the benefits that God gives us, and I think sometimes that I was speaking about Brother Brian a while ago, I think sometimes that witness, Brother Steve, even means more coming out of the valley, coming out of hardship, coming out of the trials of life. And by the way, I need to stop and ask you to pray for Brother Brent. He was admitted down in Houston the other day, and that's all I'm going to say and ask you to pray for him, Brent Warner, okay? I forgot it a while ago, and the Lord just reminded me. I have an unusual thought tonight, and going different places in the Word of God about these benefits. You know, when I got saved, honestly, I didn't care about the benefits. Somebody help me tonight. I just didn't want to go to hell. I just
wanted a change in my life. I wanted the load lifted off of me. I wanted to know that I was living in God's favor and would get to go to God's heaven when I left this world. But boy, did he load me with a bunch of benefits. If you go out to apply for a job, unless you're just, and sometimes we get that way, we're just desperate. In other words, we'd take anything sometimes, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter what the benefits are, but if a person's not desperate, they normally want to talk to the employer and know what the benefit package is. Sometimes the benefits are more important than the salary. Am I right about that? Or the hourly wage, amen? It just means a lot. But I tell you tonight, God daily loadeth you and I that know him in the free pardon of sin with benefits. And I want to talk about that for a little while. The first one's unusual. I don't know how far that we'll get tonight, but when is the last time you ever thought about the burdens of life as a benefit? I'll tell you where this came from in my mind. The Bible said, I was looking at the word daily, looking at the word every morning, those words, that phrase, or maybe the words of every day in the Word of God. And I ran across a verse of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. The Apostle Paul said, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me, and then he uses the word daily, the care of all the churches. This is a verse that meant a lot to me when I was a missionary for 10 years. Brother Larry, I tried with the help of the good Lord to carry a burden for the churches. I communicated with the pastors a lot. They would share their burden with me. Whenever I went into a church, whether the burden was voiced or not, I knew that there's people in that church that are going through valleys. And many times the pastor himself that I was preaching to, it was in a valley of some sort or another. And I don't know that I've ever thought about a burden being a benefit to God's people. But I have today, I'll tell you that, and I'll show you how it came about in my heart and in my mind. Turn with me in your Bible to Exodus chapter 5, please. Exodus chapter number 5. How many would be honest and say, humanly speaking, we would rather live without the burden? Help me tonight. I mean, we'd rather not have a spouse that's sick or a friend that's sick or a friend that's going through a divorce or a home that's tore upside down. We'd rather not. Amen. But I want to show you that God loves us so much. When he daily loadeth us with benefits, part of the benefit package is a burden. And I believe that with all of my heart. Go with me in your Bibles. Are you in Exodus 5 yet? That's good. I'm not there. Go with me over to, I believe, the Lord just put something on my heart. I believe I'll have to go and look and see. I don't have this marked. I don't even have the reference wrote down, but I'm trying to mind the Lord tonight and just go where he wants us to. We'll be in Exodus there in just a minute. If I can find it, help me, Lord. It's over here in the epistles. I believe it might be in the book of Peter. It might be in the book of James, but let me see here. I'll find it in just a moment. It's important, speaking about the burden. No, it's not the book of James. 1 Peter, well, maybe I'm going to have to solicit some help. Brother Steve, I'm looking for the passage, brother, where it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's okay. There was a time when that would embarrass me, but I'm not embarrassed. Where is it, Brother Larry? Galatians, that's it, brother. The right side of the page right there, Galatians. Thank you, Brother Larry. Like I said, there was a time when that would embarrass me, but I realize as I get closer to the grave, it's going to get worse. It ain't going to get better, amen? That's all right. It is with me. I hope it is with you. Amen. Galatians, I'd rather go to the Scripture, get help, and go to it as to not go to it because I couldn't remember exactly where it was. Look in Galatians chapter 6. The first verse says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Let me just tell you this from a pastor's standpoint, or from a parent's standpoint, or from just a Christian that cares standpoint, that can be a burden right there. When somebody's overtaken in a fault, and it needs to be addressed. Help me tonight. That's not easy. Amen. But the Bible said, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not another, for every man shall bear his own burden. What I get out of this text is there's two kinds of burdens. There are burdens to bear, and there are burdens to share. I had to learn a long time ago that some of the burdens that God puts on the pastor don't need to be shared with his wife. I had to learn that. God didn't call my wife to pastor the church. Amen. There's some things I just need to keep it between me and the Lord. Amen, Brother Larry. You all that's pastored. Our wife is the weaker vessel. That doesn't mean that she's not a worthy vessel. It means, beloved, that we don't, all of us, whether we're pastoring or not, we don't need to unload everything on our wife. There's burdens we just need to bear. And it's that way in Christianity, too. But there comes a time, beloved, when you need to share that burden. When it gets so heavy that you just can't carry it. What I'm trying to tell you today, or this evening, is this. It's a benefit from God. I don't know when the last time you ever looked at it that way, but I promise you tonight that God will show us in the Scripture that, beloved, this burden is being used to develop us. Let me ask you this. When Christ walked the face of the earth, did he walk carefree? Or did he walk with a burden from town to town and home to home and family to family and sickness to sickness? Amen? And the Word of God said, so fulfill the law of Christ. I believe it's important. I got to thinking, Brother Steve, where is the word daily first mentioned in the Word of God? Now, if I ask you that, before I told you where to turn, how many would have known? I wouldn't have. But in the Word of God in Exodus chapter number 5, I'm in Exodus, I still got to go back a few pages. I'm trembling at the thought tonight to think that you and I, as God's people, could get to a place where we could fall on our knees and say, God, thank you for this burden. Thank you for this valley. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to carry it alone. You know the burden of our heart. The Word of God said he knows what we need even before we ask. But he said to ask. Afterward, Moses, let's just read this. It's good. Moses and Aaron went in. They told Pharaoh, I believe I'm in the right place, yes. They went in and they told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. I heard a little joke years ago, and a fellow told me, he said, I believe you're a Pharaoh preacher. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you won't let God's people go. Amen. I guess that was supposed to be a compliment. I took it that way. Anyway, amen. In verse number 2, the Word of God said, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord. We know that, Pharaoh. Neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye Moses and Aaron? Let the people from their works get you unto your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many. You know, they were multiplying when they were in Egypt. If you read your Bible, they were multiplying greatly. And the word of God said here, and get you to your burdens, verse 5. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather the straw for themselves. They were already under an intense burden. And Pharaoh in Egypt is going to increase the burden upon the people of God. They were evidently, the Egyptians were carrying them straw to make the bricks. The best I can find out about that, it's just more or less taking clay, mixing it with the straw, forming it, and baking it, and it makes a brick. Well, the Bible said in the tale of bricks, which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught, therefore, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw, where you can find it, yet not all of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your work, here it is, your daily task, as when there was no straw. I just want to say this to you tonight. Listen to me carefully. We're going to read the rest of this chapter. It's good. This has changed the way you wash dishes. If we understood that there are people that can't get to the sink to wash the dishes, if we understood that just the daily tasks of life are a gift from God, a benefit from God, even when the enemy is trying to overcome us. The Bible said, and the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten. But the fault is in thine own people. But he said, you're idle. You're idle. Therefore you say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet ye shall deliver the tale of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were an evil case, after it was said, you shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily task. Listen to me tonight. I hope this means something to you. But now I don't know that ever in my life I have seen a burden as a benefit from my Heavenly Father. I don't know where might I be tonight if I was allowed to live from the age 27 to the age of 60 without a burden. Where might life have taken me if I knew nothing of the burdens of life? If I knew nothing of bearing another's burden and so fulfilling the law of Christ, where might I be tonight? That, to me, is a good question. I want to give you something tonight. Twice in this chapter, he talks about your daily task. I want to give you another man. Listen to me carefully tonight, and I believe you'll shout. Listen to him about another man. In Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 19, the word of God said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. I want to say to you tonight, I'd rather be an old-time Christian and have to carry a burden from here to the grave than, beloved, to live for my stinking self and the things of this world and die and go to hell without God. Jesus carried a burden. Jesus has it in mind that his people might carry a burden as well. I think that people that get saved and think it's all joy, all mountaintop, I don't believe it's too long until they give up. People that get bitter at God because things didn't go the way they planned with their children, or things didn't go the way they planned with their marriage, or things didn't go the way they planned with their health, or things didn't go to the way they planned with their job. And many times, listen, there's people in Kingsport tonight bitter at God because things didn't go the way they planned with their church. Help me. Bitter. Because they don't see the burden as a benefit that somebody loved them and trusted them with that burden. Beloved, turn to Psalm 73 tonight. I want to mention this in honor of my dear brother tonight. Psalm chapter 73. I'll show you where I'm coming from a little bit here. This, I hope and pray to God this is making some sense. It makes perfect sense to me, but I'm not the best at getting it across sometimes. I believe it would mean a lot to our Heavenly Father if we bowed our knee, bowed her head. Maybe your spouse is going through something. Maybe your child, your children are going through something. We just said, Lord, thank you for the burden. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave me to myself. Thank you, God, that I care. Because if we'd really get right down to it, this flesh could care less. That's what I had to remind the men in prison for 10 years. They would begin to make more out of you, Brother Steve. You'll see it. They'll begin to make more out of Steve Lyons than they ought to. They'll say, boy, Brother Steve, that was good. And they'll build you up. Thank you for coming. And, you know, I'd stop once in a while and say, fellas, listen, if it wasn't for Jesus, every one of you could go to hell. I wouldn't drive 500, 600 miles and leave my family. Give him the glory. It's the one that lives in us that deserves the glory. He's the one that puts the burden. The first man I led to Christ in prison, actually not the first man I led to Christ in prison, but the first man I met in prison. I was supposed to hang around with one of the missionaries that was seasoned till I learned the ropes. He walked in this unit. It was a maximum security unit at Northeast. He knocked on the door and began talking to somebody about the Lord the way you would if you was knocking on a door in Bloomingdale. And I said, I believe I can do that. I stood there about 20 seconds. I went on to the next door. I wasn't trying to be rebellious, but I know that story. I love that story. Tell me the story of Jesus. Right on my heart, every word. I began to tell this old boy the story, and I'm telling you, God was dealing with him. His first name was David. I'll never forget it as long as I live. He was of the Aryan nation. I found that out later. That was one of his hang-ups. I told him about Jesus, and God convicted his heart. But he wouldn't get saved. David, you want to trust Jesus? Not today. I went to see him the second day, and he wasn't in his cell. He was in the middle of four cells, putting silverware together for all the pods in there. I got down on one knee to talk to him. I said, through a little flap, I said, David, I've had you on my heart. I said, David, are you ready to get saved? No, not today. And then he said this, have you got a Bible? I didn't have one with me that day. So the third day, I went back, and all I intended to do was give David a Bible. When I made eye contact with him through that little window, Brother Steve, I went up those stairs. When I made eye contact with him, if I never moved from where I'm standing, I'd planned all day, David, I brought you a Bible. I'd ask the guard to open the flap. He was coming up the steps behind me so I could give him a Bible. And when I made eye contact with him, what came out of my mouth was this, David, are you ready? And he started disappearing down behind the window, crying, I'm ready, preacher. I'm ready. He wrote a letter, Brother Ralph, to the Rock of Ages, and he said, I could not believe that anybody in this world cared enough about me to come and see me 3 days in a row. Hey, nobody. But that lives right. As a matter of fact, I only planned on going one day. I'll tell you the story sometime. It takes a while. I'll tell you the story, what God did. All I'm saying tonight is, I believe we'd quit with the mully grubs and the griping. Many of us have learned, thank God, not to gripe with our mouth. But how many please we do it in our heart sometimes, amen? And let me just tell you this, God knows what's going on in our heart. If we could just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the valley. Psalm 73. I can see I ain't going to get done this message tonight. It's all right. Let's begin reading in verse number 13. Here's what the Asaph said. He said, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. If you go up in the psalm a little bit, the Bible said in verse number 8, they're corrupt, they speak wickedly. In verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens. In verse 10, therefore his people return thither. In verse 11, how doth God know? Is there any knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly. Look at those next words. Who prosper in the world. Oh, beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a verse here I'm going to show you that will keep you from coveting. Keep you from having those feelings about somebody that's prospering in the world while you're carrying a burden. Watch what the Word of God said. The Bible said in verse number 17. Verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. I'll tell you something, beloved. I like my end better. Brother Rose, I'm going to lay the burdens down. But until I get home, I hope, Brother Steve, God will give me strength to thank him for the burdens. I remember some of you were not here. But I remember well that Wednesday night after the Tuesday night that God had showed me what he wanted me to do. You remember when I was talking about the pastor and the difference between a pastor and a preacher. How many remembers me talking about that night? I said, a preacher comes, he preaches you a good message, he goes home, forgets about you, and you go home, forget about him. But a pastor is someone that carries you in his heart. I thank God tonight for the heart that God has given me. How can anybody love God and not want to help somebody else bear their burden? Amen? I believe with all of my heart, we need to consider their end. Don't be coveting. Don't be lusting after the things that they have. Because they may be just like the rich man that fared sumptuously every day. I'd like rather be like the children of Israel that had that daily burden, that daily task, knowing that one day we'll lay the burden down. I want to read you something tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It blessed me. It comes out of Warren Wiersbe's book entitled The Integrity Crisis. I've never read this before. It blessed my heart, and I'll close with this tonight. Will Rogers was known for his laughter, but he also knew how to weep. One day he was entertaining at the Milton H. Berry Institute in Los Angeles, a hospital that specialized in rehabilitating polio victims and people with broken backs and other extreme physical handicaps. Of course, Rogers had everybody laughing, even patients in really bad condition. But then he suddenly left the platform and went to the restroom. Milton Berry followed him to give him a towel. And when he opened the door, he saw Will Rogers leaning against the wall, sobbing like a child. He closed the door, and in a few minutes, Rogers appeared back on the platform, as jolly as before. If you want to learn what a person is really like, ask three questions. What makes him laugh? What makes him angry? And what makes him weep? These are fairly good tests of character that are especially appropriate for Christian leaders. I hear people saying, we need angry leaders today, or the time has come to practice militant Christianity. Perhaps. But the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, James 1:20. What we need today is not anger, but anguish. The kind of anguish that Moses displayed when he broke the tablets of the law and then climbed the mountain to intercede for his people. Or that Jesus displayed when he cleansed the temple and then went and wept over the city. The difference between anger and anguish is a broken heart. I'm telling you, I believe God would be pleased if we could get to a place where we could say, Lord, thank you for the burden. Thank you for this broken heart. Amen? He said this, the difference between anger and anguish is a broken heart. It's easy to get angry, especially at somebody else's sins, but it's not easy to look at sin, our own included, and weep over it. I thought that was pretty good. Amen? Tonight, the Bible said, blessed be God. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. You know what I believe? The Lord just reminded me of something. I believe Job knew that. That's why Job was able to do the right thing when his children was living. He prayed for them. And he was able to do the right thing when his children died. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the valley we walk through today. Thank you for the mountains. I've told you before, and I'll tell you one more time. I don't know what in this world I'll face before I leave this world. But I'm confident I won't have to face it alone. When you visit, care for people, minister to people, sometimes the thought goes through your mind, how much more can anybody take? Amen? But I know this, God is still on the throne. And when He has got that clay up on the wheel, and He's squeezing, He's making a vessel. I think sometimes, I'm not fussing at you, I'll use the word we, forget who the potter is. We need to remember He's the potter and we're the clay. How many's glad you come tonight? How many believes God will help us to look at the burden a little bit differently and just say, Lord, thank you. There's people in this building tonight, I look out and have children with health issues and just different things that they're battling with. Thank God tonight, He's able to help us, amen, to bear the burden. All hearts and minds clear. Thank you for coming. If you'll stand, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer.